I'd like to call the LCO meeting to order. Maria, can you call the roll, please?
Yes. Chair Saxon?
Here.
Vice Chair Hilliker?
Here.
Vice Chair Youngrice?
Here.
Director Boyle? Director Croucher?
Here.
Director Daly?
Here.
Director Douglas? Director Miller? Director Mudd? Director Topolovac?
Here.
Director Tu? Director Walson?
Here.
Director Weston?
Here.
Director Warnham?
Here.
You have a quorum, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And it's with great sadness and that I would that I announce to all of us that our Maria Rodriguez is leaving us. She's going to retire and going on to a new life. So I want to publicly thank her for all her hard work. I think she's been here 20 years. So thank you for all your hard work. We're going to miss you. And please join me in thanking her. Do we have any additions to the agenda? And under public comment, we have a speaker, Tom Teitmeyer.
We wore him out.
No, that's not Tom Teitmeyer. So.
Okay,
then let me go to the chair's report. I have one item just to let you know that on Tuesday, January 31st, we're going to have our third water talk. It's scheduled to be in regarding emergency storage and maintaining safe and secure pipelines. And this will be held in South Bay. We've had one here at the County Water Authority and one in North County, so now we're going to go to the South County. And we are partnering with the South County Economic Development Corporation. So there'll be more information on exactly where it's going to be held, but we look forward to hearing about that. And Frank Hilliker has asked for a moment to add to the director's comments.
Yeah, well, I don't have any sadness, which is good. I have something I'm very proud to announce, and that was a few weeks ago at the annual Farm Bureau Farmer of the Year dinner. Our Gary Arant got the first ever Friend of Agriculture Award that was handed out. So big hand for Gary for his great lifetime achievement.
So I asked him, I said, so you're going to give a guy the Friend of Agriculture Award who has tripled your water rates in the last 10 years and has cut you back to 30% or more twice. You must have trouble finding friends. It was quite an honor. Thank you.
Let me welcome my three new board members, but also to this committee, Marty Miller, Bob Topolovac, excuse me, and Mark Weston. So thank you for participating in this committee. We have nothing in the consent calendar, and we have our visitors from Washington. Can I call Ken Carpy up to give his presentation?
Yes, ma'am, you can. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, as always. Just quickly, the House and Senate are both in session this week. They are on a mission to conclude their activities and adjourn the first session of the 112th Congress. As you know, during November, all eyes were on the Deficit Reduction Super Committee in the hope that they would reach some kind of agreement on a budget deal. That was not to be the case. And today, December 8th, was to be the target adjournment date for both the House and the Senate to adjourn this session of Congress. That also will not be the case because, lacking any recommendations from the budget from the super committee, there's a number of issues, primarily fiscal issues, budget appropriations, tax issues that must be addressed. So their adjournment date will be pushed well into December, and we will talk about those appropriations issues in just a few minutes. But let me first talk about an item that's in your written report. It's a, really more of a policy issue. And it is the item which describes that the Environmental Economics Advisory Committee to the EPA is conducting a study on the value of water to the U.S. economy. EPA's justification and the need for this study is that there is incomplete information on the importance of water to key sectors of the economy, including energy, agriculture, construction, tourism, fishing, manufacturing, and public water sectors. Resulting in, and emphasis added here, resulting in potentially inefficient resource protection and water management decisions. So this advisory committee has been soliciting comments. They held their first four-hour public telephone nationwide conference call on Monday. You should have all been there, really. It was great. The early debate is somewhat academic in as to exactly which waters, market, non-market, or both waters, market and non-market, should be included in this study. That's important to California for a number of reasons. It sounds somewhat academic, but in California, about 40% of the water is non-market, environmental water, essentially. 40% is agriculture, and only 20% is M&I. So as you might suspect, many statewide and national organizations are lining up on both sides of this issue as to whether or not this study should or be done or is even needed. Clearly, there are some who are concerned that more federal oversight is needed in terms of resource protection and water allocation. Others view that this is really a step by the EPA to ultimately expand their oversight and involvement in the implementation of the Clean Water Act and ultimately perhaps an expansion of the definition of waters of the United States. So I just want to point this out. It's sort of a classic example of what's going on in Washington at the moment in that the administration appears to many to be implementing policy changes or changes through either regulatory action or regulatory guidance that would never survive the legislative process. We're just in the early stages of this. I just want to let you know it's being watched by us and by many, many others, but I think it's just it's an intriguing approach to this broader issue that clearly affects us and many other water agencies. On the appropriations side, let me just say that you see me on a somewhat regular basis here, and I just want to let you know that I'm not the whole team. We have a number of people in Washington who work on your issues back there. One of them, Tyler Kruzik, is here with me today. Tyler, in addition to formerly working for the Congressional Budget Office, was also senior staff on the House of Representatives Appropriations and Authorizing Committees dealing with water, natural resources, and energy. So he is well-versed in both the policy, the technical, and the legislative aspects of issues that are important to us. So I have asked Tyler, given the lack of success of the super committee, to just give you a brief, and it will be brief today because of your time constraints, overview as to kind of where we are and what we see on the horizon in terms of how potential actions may affect water agencies like the Water Authority. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here to address you for the first time. The basis of what I'm going to say is really what we know and what we don't know. And we know a lot less than what we will find out in coming weeks and months. As of today, December 8th, the federal government is funded for 8 more days. Okay, so there are 12 annual appropriations bills. 3 bills have been enacted into law. That leaves 9 that still need to be enacted by December 16th, okay? Energy and water is one of those bills, and that really impacts a lot of the agencies and programs that we care about, all right? So there are basically 2 things that can happen before the 16th, and we do not fear a government shutdown. Those days, thankfully, seem to have passed, but there will be 1 of 2 courses of action. The first is the House and Senate have each passed multiple appropriations bills. Right now, they're working together to try and hammer out their differences in what's called a conference committee, okay? And so if the House and Senate can resolve the differences in their pieces of legislation, then they'll pass that legislation, send it to the president. Hopefully, the president will sign it. Now, of the nine bills, it seems that, you know, what we're hearing today is that six of those, including energy and water, are probably going to have all the differences resolved and go to the president. Three of those, there are probably too many policy differences for the House, primarily led by the Republicans and the Senate Democrats, to actually be able to agree on. Anything that doesn't get done will be, the agencies will be funded through a continuing resolution, which means that they'll continue to operate at last year's levels with some adjustments. Now, whether that continuing resolution is short-term, you know, say for another month so they can continue to negotiate, or whether it's through the end of the fiscal year, we don't really have a very good indication of what's going to happen. Irrespective of whether the House and Senate conference and pass a bill or if it's a continuing resolution, our priorities are fairly intact. I mean, the honest truth is that every program is getting cut these days, but the priorities of the Senate and the President, such as Title 16, have been protected a little bit more than other programs. EPA is taking big hits and some other things. So irrespective of outcome in the coming days, our programs of importance will continue to be funded at a fairly robust level. Now, I'm sure everybody wants to talk about the super committee, the not-so-super committee, and its collapse. The outcome of that is, what we know is that there will be $1.2 trillion that will be cut from the federal budget over the next 10 years, $600 billion from defense and $600 billion from everywhere else. We don't know how that's going to take place. We don't know if it's going to be an across-the-board cut for every agency or if the $600 billion that's not defense will be cut from specific programs and projects. It's yet to be determined, but we are carefully monitoring that. And with that, I'll take questions.
Thank you. Any questions? You left us speechless. Thank you, Tyler, and hope you come back.
Thank you.
Mr. Clay?
Good afternoon, Chair Sachs.
Hi.
Thank you. I get to wear it once or twice a year. So, and as you'll notice also, yeah, exactly. My wife doesn't let me out too often with this, but it was a present from my mother, so I will wear it. You also notice that we're doing our part at Carpe and Clay to try and raise the height again now that my dad's retired, so we're back into the over 6'5 footers here. At this point, all things are quiet on the northern front. Sacramento has been fairly quiet. I think a lot of the legislators are trying to just go deep into the bunker, pretend that the budget isn't upside down again, and focus on their upcoming primaries and elections, especially given now that we have the new dynamic of new districts as well as the change in terms of it's a top two vote getter moves to the general election. On the budget front, it's safe to say that we're going to see at least the first round of trigger cuts made at some point between now and probably when the governor unveils his budget in the first week of January. Most likely, we'll probably see the second round of trigger cuts. What's interesting, to date, we're about $1 billion off, a little bit more from what they projected as the revenue numbers back in July to date. Today, the Treasurer just released the figures for November, and they got just shy of $500 million more dollars than they anticipated for this month. So we're on a little bit of a roller coaster here with the finances, which means we'll have all sorts of fighting and delay tactics as we go into the budget for this next year. Additionally, the governor's made it pretty clear that he's going to be seeking another set of automatic trigger cuts as part of his initiative that he's taking to the voters to seek tax increases. Basically, the idea is if the voters do not choose to raise taxes, then there'd be another set of automatic trigger cuts, much like what was in this budget. And those automatic trigger cuts have found a lot of favor from Wall Street because it's essentially taking the legislature out of the decision-making process, which I guess makes things work a little more smoothly. We've also kind of entered what I would call the pre-season to the initiative season. As I just mentioned, the governor has filed his own initiative with the Attorney General. This would be to raise taxes on the highest earners in California to the tune of roughly about $7 billion. That money would be dedicated to fund education and public safety. Think prison realignment, sheriffs, those types of things. That's going to be one of, I think there's at least 13 initiatives that have been submitted to the Attorney General at this point, everything ranging from a revisiting of Prop 13 and looking at split rolls, so basically leaving residential property tax intact, not messing with that, but going after businesses and the whole idea that businesses could transfer property without triggering a reevaluation of their property tax assessment. You'll also see there's some paycheck protection or lack thereof on the union side, and you'll see some additional measures looking at various tax proposals to fund different components of the state's budget. So at this point, it's preseason because we don't know what's going to come out of the Attorney General's office, and we probably won't know till June what actually qualifies, but it's definitely causing a lot of consternation within the Capitol environment and will definitely have a guiding hand in what happens politically in the first few months of the legislature. I think finally, just in closing, what the calendar is going to be for this next year. So the legislature will come back January 4th. We'll hit the ground running since this is the second year of a two-year session. Committees will immediately begin hearing bills, and we'll have a House of Origin deadline on January 31st, which means any bills that haven't cleared their first house have to be out by January 31st or they essentially die. And that's one of the few drop-dead places where a bill actually will die. Kind of mixed in with all this, we'll have the usual getting language into Ledge Council, bill introduction deadline in the first part of February, and then we restart the whole process again. And given the timing, I will end my presentation there and open up for questions.
Director Tu.
Thank you. Johnson, we're proud. But the trigger cuts, are they prioritized or cut across the board, or are there a guideline to that?
When the legislature and the governor negotiated the budget deal back in late June, early July, there's three sets of trigger cuts. The first ones are going to hit higher education. So that's why you're seeing a lot of things coming out of the UC Cal State system. They're going to be the first to hit. I think it's around $1 billion worth of cuts. Then it kind of trickles down to K-12, Health and Human Services, those primarily being in the second and third tiers worth of cuts.
Director Weldon?
There is a Bay Delta EIR on the street, which in my mind is a textbook example of how not to do an EIR. Based on the Bay Delta activity going on, do you have any knowledge of Bay Delta bonds being drafted and when they might appear on the ballot?
So the question you're asking is where things kind of stand with the current water bond, and are we maybe seeing some new bond initiatives maybe put out there to help fund all this?
Would it be next year or some other years?
Well, this year, so in 2012, the voters are supposed to see what was the water bond from the package back in 2009. And as you'll remember, last year they pulled it off the ballot and put it onto the 2012 ballot. My bet is that we'll see efforts to pull it off the 2012 because everything I've heard is the polling isn't good for an $11 billion bond in the current economy. There has been, just as of this last week, a lot of activity about looking at some initiatives that basically if the water bond gets pulled off, folks are talking about maybe doing their own initiative, much smaller bond, scaled back. I have no sense of what that's looking like. I don't think it will be solely dedicated to dealing with the Delta issue because I don't think they could bring a coalition of enough folks together to support that. I think you'll see some sort of coalition of Delta, storage, environmental. But to answer your question, there's nothing that's specific to funding just a Bay Delta that I've heard of as of yet, but we've got at least 6 more months before we know that for the initiative side of things, and then an additional, the legislature could stretch it out. They can put something on the ballot as probably late as mid-August.
Okay, thank you.
Director Price?
Jonathan, have you heard any, what's any rumblings or any word about another vote on the high-speed rail? I've read a little in the paper about that possibly happening. What do you hear up there?
There's lots of rumblings about high-speed rail, and I think at this point I don't have a good sense of where it's going to go, just that there's a lot of folks upset, angry. I think Senator LaMalfa has called for actually putting it back before the voters, but since Senator LaMalfa is in the minority party, that may not go too far. But, yeah, I think it's safe to say that there may be some efforts afoot at the state level to revisit the appropriateness of high-speed rail. So.
Any other questions? Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Jeff Bolger.
Hi, I actually have two items, and I'm going to start with the item of adopting the proposed 2012 ledge policy guidelines. This initial draft was brought to you in October, and the final draft, based on the comments received from that, from bringing it to you in October, are at pages 151 through 190, and I'd be happy to take any questions or comments.
Yeah, the staff recommendation is to adopt the 2012 legislative policy guidelines, so we'd entertain a motion to do so.
Second. Ms. Heidel?
No, I was just going to make a motion that since it's been made, I'll second it.
I need a second.
Who's the first?
I'm sorry. Okay, so we have Marilyn Daly and Lynn Heidel. And then I saw Mr. Young Rice.
Yes, Madam Chair. I wanted to propose, now since we've had a motion and a second, hopefully you'll continue your motion and second after my proposed amendment, but I guess we'll see. One thing we, in our LCO pre-meeting on Monday, we realized was there was one area that is likely to, there's one area under water efficiency, there's likely to be legislation introduced in the March, possibly the February timeframe. So we came to the conclusion that we probably needed to add an additional item or two to address that likely legislation. That involves the Commercial, Industrial, and Institutional CII Task Force, which is currently it's part of the Department of Water Resources. One of the many task forces they're doing is a part of their implementation of SB 7, the water efficiency, that essentially the governor's 20 by 2020 program. And the report, one of the things that came out of SB 7 was that the CII task force reports to the legislature on things that should be done, potentially, to increase water efficiency in the CII sector. Now, I believe that in February or perhaps March, as the committee, and the chair of this august task force is our own Toby Roy, and she's shy and not proud, but I got to tell you, she is just remarkable. She does an amazing job, and the task force, a very fractious group, I will tell you. She's managed to corral them, and a lot of progress has been made. In any event, in order that if we have legislation that's introduced, and I think it's likely, there's two things I'd like to add. So under the, I'm not sure what page is on the packet, but it's under the water efficiency heading, I propose that we, do we actually have the language? Excellent, okay. So I would add to the water efficiency section a number 19. The Water Authority would support legislation that encourages reasonable tracking of water use and improved efficiency in the CII sector. Pretty general. And oppose legislation that mandates regulation of the CII sector in a manner that is discriminatory, which sets unachievable best management practices or compliance targets, or which has the potential to frustrate successful operation of CII enterprises within the San Diego region. Particularly number four at the bottom, that certainly industry has in the task force, and I know the Industrial Environmental Association, who's been very involved in this issue, they want to make sure that, or from what I've heard from them in any event, is that, you know, whatever standards are set, that they're fair, they're achievable, and that they really move the ball forward. So that's an effort to kind of address that concern. So I would move that we amend the guidelines accordingly.
Will the motioner agree to that?
Remember that we're looking for guidelines that staff can use and our lobbyists can use when we're in Sacramento. So if there's something that's coming up, Director Daley, if the board gives us direction related to policy, then we can advocate for that policy.
Yeah.
Mr. Warren.
I understand Jeremy correctly, sitting in the cheap seats. What we're trying to make sure of is that we don't give a blank check to the legislature to basically go ahead and do something that is going to be unreasonable and unfriendly to potential future commercial or become anti-business, anti-development, commerce, anti-future growth of California by trying to do this would be unintended consequences potentially. And so that's what I think what he's doing is really quite measured, which is just saying that we have something that is going to be reasonable in tracking and it's not going to do something that's going to further frustrate the future growth of the San Diego region.
I'm sorry, you did agree. Thank you. And the second?
I'm not on the committee.
I know you were enthusiastic, so we took Director Werner Measure back up.
Okay.
Sorry.
But yeah. I would have a comment. I have no problem with it, except I think that the last phrase, the potential to frustrate successful, well, I can't quite read it all.
Of CII enterprises within the San Diego region.
I think
region.
Everything except that, which is so incredibly vague and can be used, and that I would, I'm not on the committee, but I just think that's way too.
Sir, where do you draw the use?
I just leave it at the other thing.
Just stop before it right the there. Word or.
Right.
Is that everybody's nodding?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
we'll stop it at the word targets.
Yeah.
Now, okay.
Can I if I may,
Director
Madam Chair. Thank you. Ms. Daley, I can tell you we struggle with back and forth because just exactly your concern. It's like, well, do we wait? Maybe we wait to January, February. The bottom line is it's just one of those things that as we realized that this was going to be coming up and we're actually the task force is going to be workshopping this in January. Pretty good chance the bill deadlines in a lot of the bills are going to come out in January. Right. And so that was the idea is if we didn't do it now, do we miss opportunities? So, but your concern is well-founded, and I can tell you the chair certainly put me through the paces as to whether we should do this today or not. So certainly a valid concern, but we wanted to make sure that since the opportunity was here, we were discussing it, that we at least raised it.
Mr. Goldberg, I have a question under the power supply, number 5. It says make SWP state water power available for seawater desalinization. My question is, do we make that available to all projects, or is this only for desal?
You know, that is a guideline that's been in this for a number of years, and frankly, I'm not familiar with how it came in. Apparently, it's talking about using state water project power for seawater desalination.
If I may, Madam Chair, the notion when that was added to the ledge policy guidelines is that looking for both lower carbon sources of energy and lower cost sources of energy at the time, and opening up the use of that power for seawater desalination projects wherever they may be, but particularly here in San Diego County.
Would it not be better to say make it the power available for water projects in general and not just isolate it or focus on seawater? On desalinization? Make it broader, in other words.
That's certainly the prerogative of the board. This is the board's policy document, and we would be quite comfortable with that.
Do we need a motion then to
again, is that all right with the motioner, which is basically that you don't limit the issue regarding the energy to just desalination, but for all water projects?
Yes.
Okay, we've got the two yeses. Right, right. Okay, good. Okay, we can make that modification. It's very minor.
All right. So, any other questions? With that, can I have all those in favor with the two modifications? Did I see your hand?
I'm just asking for clarification on what we were voting on. It sounds like you were going
there. Yeah, we're going to be voting on the guidelines as presented to you with the two changes that we heard about today.
What are the two?
Please put that slide back up. It is the addition of this to the suggested amendments. And on number four at the bottom, we stop at the third line at the end of the word that says targets. And then the second one is, Dennis, do you have a page number?
It's page 23. Support item number five would be changed to makes SWB power available for water projects.
And it would not restrict it just to desalination projects.
So with those two changes, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Jeff, you have some legislation you want us to consider?
Yeah, staff is recommending that the board sponsor two bills in the 2012 legislative session.
Thank you.
The first one has to do with the subject that came up in Marcy's presentation earlier today, which has to do with the advanced treated purified water. Currently, that is regulated under the Porter Cologne Water Quality Act as a discharge of waste. And what this bill would do would be to move it over into the health and safety code and redefine it as a water resource and not a waste, and allow the advanced treated purified water to be used to augment raw water and for direct potable reuse. And this is consistent with SB 918, which passed last year, which is a bill that sets up the regulatory structure for recycled water going forward.
Madam Chair, do you want to take these separately or together?
We'll take them separately.
Use
your microphone, Mark, please.
Thank you.
I would move adoption of staff recommendation for the first bill.
We have a second from Yen. I think so. Yeah. Yes. Are there any questions of Jeff? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Next one, Jeff.
The next bill is a bill that actually the board adopted a sponsorship position on last year, and the bill was introduced, AB 1048. And what this proposed bill would do would be to ensure that the standard for for fluoride in wastewater would not be tighter than the standard for fluoride in drinking water, because what's happening is that the state is requiring a certain level of fluoride in drinking water, and is not. And there are regional, or a regional board, actually the San Diego Regional Board has a fluoride standard for wastewater that's actually lower than the drinking water standard that the state is requiring. And so this bill would require the State Water Resources Control Board to establish a policy of requiring the regional boards to consider the state drinking water standard in setting their wastewater standard. We have an author. We have a bill. The bill did not go through committee last year. We've discovered that the only regional board that this is a consideration is the San Diego board. And we also got some feedback from the State Water Resources Control Board that they don't like having us tell them what the result should be. So we need to amend the bill to put it in terms that are acceptable to them, which is basically instructing them to come up with a policy. We are also going to take a different track, which would be to work with the regional board to come up with a basin plan amendment that would address this issue. But having this bill going forward would give them an added incentive to resolve this issue, because it is a problem for the member agencies.
Director Tu?
I would like to motion to approve staff recommendation.
Do I have a second, Mr. Young Rice? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And under information, you have the packets in your, or you have the reports in your packets. So with that, we are adjourned.